Jack of All Nerds is recorded in front of a dead studio audience.
It's 8 p.m., kiddies, and you know what that means.
Guy love, he's mine, I'm his. There's nothing gay about it in our eyes.
You puny rangers, make my monster grow!
Oh no, guys! It's Bell Vitor! We need Krispy Kreme Megazord power now!
Welcome back to more Cooking with Bane.
Oh, you think grilling is your ally? Now's not the time to sear. That comes later.
Are you the doctor?
No, I'm the nurse.
Where is he?
You've been listening to the G-Spot, where we play nothing but Kenny G classics for a two-hour block of time. Due to explicit content, listener discretion is advised.
On with the show!
Welcome to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. I'm the Jack of All Nerds, Michael Maxwell. Joining me tonight, Mr. Derek Murray.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. And in the booth, welcome back, Danny Anthony.
Hello, Clarice.
What's going on, guys? Happy International Zombie Day.
Yeah.
Oh, he is risen.
He is.
I get it. Easter. That's good. That's clever.
It's blasphemy, blast for you.
Blast for everybody in the room.
He's the OG zombie, that's all. Yeah, so we're here. Just like Jesus, I am risen. It happened at about 1 p.m. this afternoon.
It was about 11 for me.
I was up till 5 a.m., so it was, a late night anyway. Yeah. So tonight on the show, guys, we're going to talk about stuff.
Yeah.
Which I know is a change
of pace. That's a
departure. Yeah. Usually we just sit here in silence.
You could have warned me.
Sorry. coming up in the 8:30 block of the show, we're going to be talking with Drew from Comic-Con Revolution, and that's the convention that's coming up in Ontario here, May 13th, I believe. So we're gonna talk about that convention, what kind of stuff they're gonna have going on. Should be fun. So beyond that, I really didn't plan anything. So I was gonna
Potpourri
do like
show.
An Easter egg hunt, but then I was like, who wants to listen to that? So instead, I've arranged for another disgusting taste test. I want you both to know
at all
that it was my girlfriend's idea.
Ugh.
I mean, I had the idea when I first saw them, but then I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then JoJo saw them and was like, you should totally do that. And then I was like, okay.
How dare you?
You're welcome. So let's just get this out of the way right now. Right. Okay. So we have Oreos with marshmallow Peeps flavored cream. This is
yummy.
They're not chocolate Oreos. They're the like vanilla Oreos, and they have a pink cream filling. Yeah,
I don't know why that's funny.
As most things do.
Pink like vaginas.
There it is.
All right.
You going in first? I think you should, because your girlfriend's making us do this, and this is your fault.
Actually, she's been very excited to try these, so...
Yeah, like, bring her ass on the show.
I'm like,
one of these times.
No, he was like, you have to wait until we try them. They have to be fresh.
I mean, are we gonna go for the whole cookie, or should we just do the frosting?
Honestly,
because the cookie doesn't change.
Yeah, we know what the vanilla cookie tastes like.
Yeah,
so it's just
terrible.
Just lick the pink. Just lick. It doesn't lick very easily.
No, you got to scrape with the teeth.
Yeah, it's the paste.
Just like the real thing.
Just like
okay.
The
wow. Use your tongue.
And then do the alphabet.
Oh, it all came off of my mouth, guys.
I wish, God, there's so many moments where I just wish we could stream live for a second and just see the pink residue in the top of your mouth and your disgust as you choke it down.
It's a little gritty, I got to be honest with you.
Peeps, now with real ham.
I guess like that Peeps, like the sugar coating on the outside. I think that's, honestly,
It's just ground up peeps.
It tastes like I just popped a peep in my mouth. Pop a peep.
Pop a peep.
Pop a peep.
Alliteration aside, I still feel like they're disgusting.
I guess that depends on your stance on peeps.
I find peeps to be revolting.
Then it should be a fun experience. You're next.
This is like highlighter pink, too.
Yeah, it is
gnarly. Like, you're going to get some kind of like cancer from this,
this
polymer that you're about to shove in your mouth.
He's
peep
given,
cancer.
He's given me two, and I only plan to eat one, so I'll take a picture of the...
Peep cancer is actually the best because the tumors are filled with a marshmallow filling.
So it kills you, but god damn it, are you fluffy. Yeah. All right.
And it's good because it's already pink. You don't need the damn ribbons.
All right. How many licks, guys? How many licks? Oh.
Just scrape it all, man.
It does come off. And oh.
You got to, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, take it all. Take it all in your mouth.
La, 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 la.
Oh.
Come on.
I don't think he likes it.
Oh.
Hey, Mikey.
It's just like...
Does it have a good mouthfeel?
No, it does not have a good mouthfeel. It's got like a... I feel like I'm chewing sugar cane.
Right, like that's just the grittiness, right?
Yeah, just like raw sugar cane, unrefined.
So it's like it's got the peep skin in it, too, then. Yeah, okay.
Oh, God, that frosting is disgusting.
That's like the worst part of the peep, too, is that the outer, like, sugary coating of it.
Yeah, they've like mixed it together.
Gross.
Into a cream.
I'm gonna say this. Creme. I'm gonna say this. If you are bold enough to try it, do not open it up and try to do the cream filling.
Because you're gonna need the cookie.
You're gonna fucking need the cookie.
I think I'm actually gonna
big time.
I'm gonna take a bite of a full one.
I can already tell that there's a huge flavor difference, and the vanilla cookie kind of calms down that overbearing sugar taste. The cookie's delicious.
What do you got, Danny?
Well, I mean, since we already got, two reviews of it, I'm just going to take both the cookies you gave me and just take the the cream filling.
He's double creaming it.
I'm double creaming it.
Ugh. Bold.
He's taking two peeps in the mouth. And he's licking his fingers.
Two peeps, one mouth.
How's that pink taste?
You know, at first it's not that bad, but then when like the polymer in the fucking cream sits, it's like there's a definite plastic taste to this, and it's god awful.
Yeah.
Oh,
isn't that peeps are made from plastic, aren't they?
Oh, good god. That is
All right, here's my final. I'm just taking a bite of it all together.
Oh man. Get up in the mic. Yeah, there we go. Is it better with the cookie?
It's not as gritty because you're getting the crunch of the actual cookie, of the biscuit. It kind of tames the peep flavor.
Yeah.
So it just tastes like a sugary vanilla Oreo. So.
All right.
Yeah. So it's the cream itself that's the offensive part.
No, but if you're going in trying to lick, you know, you're going to have a bad time.
Would it be better dunked in milk? That's the question when it comes down to all these Oreos.
Honestly, I've never been a fan of dunking cookies in milk.
Oh, okay.
Me personally, I would say no. But to someone who maybe is a fan, probably yes. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was,
that was interesting.
It was a treat, everybody. Just like Jesus had.
up there on his cross. Yep. Dying for our sins. What a treat.
All right, so let's move on from there, shall we? My goodness.
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what time it is. Sponsor time, everybody.
This will never get old to me, ever, ever.
This is only my second time here, and I totally forgot about this.
No, it fills me with so much goddamn joy.
And I was kind of down when we got here, and now I'm like, yeah, let's do this. First up, the Etowanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Conveniently located off the 210 freeway at the Day Creek exit in Rancho Cucamonga, California. The Etowanda Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Has nightly food specials, drink specials, live entertainment, pub trivia, karaoke, all kinds of good stuff. For more information, visit facebook.com/eRoadhouse.
Roadhouse.
Also check out...
Pause. Dr. Pepper has tried to go a new direction, and I think they've gotten rid of Little Sweet, and they've replaced him with some asshole on a jet ski. Not cool, Dr.
It was Pepper. It was that whole cowboy bit.
I don't think they've gotten rid of him because they've done even when he was when he first showed up, they did a handful of commercials without him. Okay. And then they brought him back.
So, we're talking Diet Dr. Pepper, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they just, all right. They got me worried, and I saw that commercial, and I was like, you better fucking bring Little Sweet back.
Chillax, bro.
All right, sorry. Jesus. Continue.
Check out The Dinner Detective, America's largest interactive murder mystery dinner show. Enjoy a fabulous four-course meal while solving a hilarious murder investigation. For more information, visit thedinnerdetective.com. And if you're purchasing tickets for the Claremont, California location, use the promo code CRIME to get a $5 discount. And that sponsors everyone. Now enjoy the next few minutes just rocking out to Captain Ron.
Just do it. Just let it hit you. Just let it fill your soul with a groove.
I'll do our announcements real quick. Yeah. So coming up May 4th Fest at the Riverside Municipal Auditorium. Lineup includes the Stargirls Burlesque, Sith Fits, DJ Galactic Ray, the Alien Cantina Band, an art exhibit. There'll be cosplay, all kinds of stuff. Doors open at 7 p.m. For tickets, visit riversidelive.com. Also coming up on May 13th, Comic-Con Revolution right here in Ontario, California at the Ontario Convention Center. Visit Comic-Con Revolution for more information and for tickets. Oh, yeah.
I just want to sail.
I know, right?
Don't you? You just
want to get on a boat and go somewhere.
You get lost, just pull in somewheres and ask directions. The only way that works for me is if my captain is Captain Ron.
Is Captain Ron? Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
One of Kurt Russell's best roles ever.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And he's given us so many amazing roles, but that is for sure one of my absolute favorites.
I feel as though that Captain Ron is like a parody of Snake Plissken, though.
I feel like it's equal parts Snake Plissken and Jack Burton mixed together.
Yes.
That's
yes,
how you get
a
Captain
little bit.
Ron.
Yeah. And those two are iconic, so it's just this magical blend.
The perfect storm. Oh, all right, guys. Let's, shall we do some blasting from the pasting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we all chose 90s films this week.
And all comedies, I noticed.
Yeah.
Because what did we do? What were the ones we did last week? Did we have some depressing ones last week?
Citizen Kane.
yep.
Real dark ones.
No, we didn't do that.
Citizen Kane, man, was just such a letdown of a movie, man.
And actually, this wasn't even a movie I was going to... Mine wasn't even my original pick. I was going to do something else.
Actually, and mine wasn't either. I just had watched it as soon as I saw it was on Netflix.
Yeah.
And then it made me cry like a baby, so I had to... Now we'll get more into that in a little bit.
Yeah,
here.
I was going to say.
I'm excited.
First up,
The Ed Wonder Roadhouse.
First up,
Roadhouse.
Thank you. Mr. Danny Anthony from 1998.
Yep, I did Half Baked. Everybody's first, well, at least my first foray into the world of marijuana. Gotta say, I was really disappointed.
Doesn't hold up?
Doesn't hold up for me. That's not to say I didn't chuckle a few times, because a lot of the jokes do hold up because they're Dave Chappelle jokes and he's funny. But what actually made me want to watch this movie is I was watching Dave Chappelle's Inside the Actor's Studio, and he brought up Half-Baked, and he said that, like, whoever it was, the studio, I think, was like, we had a completely different script, and they totally reworked it, and, like, the other script was just as funny or even more, but they went with this route. And he said that this movie is a weed movie for kids. And after watching it now, I was like, yeah, it totally is. It's just very immature humor. And it just...
What's immature about saying you're a professional meter hopper and then racking yourself? <That's what I'm... laughs> This is the same movie with that horse is a diabetic, right?
Yeah,
that
whole... Yeah. And, you know, the Squirrel Master.
I hated this movie, to be honest with you. I've only seen it once.
Yeah, I've only seen it once,
too. You know, I first saw it when I was, like, I think 12 or 13 years old, and I thought it was just the funniest shit ever, because as a child, I could relate to a love of Abba Zabba.
Yeah, I think, honestly, what most people remember from this movie is the fuck you,
yeah.
And that's it.
What we're all going to do on our last day working wherever we're working.
And that's pretty much it, because I got to be honest, I only saw it once, and that's all I remember.
You know how much I didn't care about this movie? I didn't even know that's where that reference came from.
Wow, strong.
Yeah.
Chucking a burger at some dude's face.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, that's where that's from.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot about this movie that's, like super memorable, other than, you know, a couple cameos, like the whole Bob Saget cameo is great. But yeah, other than that, like Snoop Dogg's cameo was okay, I guess. So I think what I'm trying to say here is that it's a ghast for me.
All right. Going with a ghast.
All right.
All right. Well, let's take a lengthy trip from 98 to 94.
Woo! Yeah.
Derek's.
Yeah, so I decided to do Blank Check. I don't know exactly why I decided to do this movie. I think somewhere I was listening to the radio and somebody mentioned it and I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
So this wasn't you saw it in the new releases on Netflix?
No.
Because honestly, like, he told me he was doing it and I was like, what? Where is this movie located? He's like, it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I went, and I swear to God, I watched it today because I hadn't seen it since it came out.
Yeah. I haven't seen it since it came out either, since I was a kid. And it was one of those ones where I think somebody was talking about it on the radio and I was like, oh yeah, I should just do that one. And then it happened to be on Netflix and I was like, oh shit. So if you've never seen Blank Check is about this kid, named Preston Waters, who has probably the worst family in middle America.
Oh, God, yeah.
In 1994. His family are dicks. His brothers are assholes to him. They bully him all the time. I was watching it, and then I like that one of the first jokes is that he types into that computer that his brothers sleep butt to face. But like, that shit made me laugh so hard. And I was like, this is a PG Disney movie. That's a little rough. But anyways, his brothers bully him all the time. And then like, his mom is just like, doesn't care about anything that he does. Yeah, and like,
the mom, it might as well not even be there. She's the most absentee parent I've ever seen.
And, yeah. But his dad is like super frugal and is just like, only cares about saving money and like,
obsessed with business.
Yeah. Obsessed with, doesn't give a fuck about his kid. Like,
well, if you had a job.
Yeah. I was like, he's 10. Like, the fuck are you talking about if he had a job? And there's, you really do kind of feel for Pratt, like leading up to like when it gets extravagant.
he gets hit, his bike gets run over.
Yeah.
And he almost just dies. And they're like, you're irresponsible, you're grounded. What? Your son was almost killed.
Yeah. No, they don't care. They don't care. There's a moment where his dad is like, oh yeah, you gotta go to this kid's birthday party.
Here's 10 bucks.
Yeah.
He gives him six.
He gives him like $6 to go to a fucking theme park. And he's like, yeah, you can make that last all day. And I just remember, like, my dad was frugal but he would never like be like, all right, here's absolutely no money. Go enjoy yourself. Like, and he has to like ride the fucking carousel by himself and all the kids make fun of him. So anyways, so the movie starts off where he's just got this really shitty thing. And then, he discovers that if somebody writes you a blank check, you can do check fraud and write in your own amount.
Yep.
And you know, when you take it to the bank, apparently banks just assume as long as it's signed, you can cash it. You don't need ID.
Is it really check fraud though? If you know, they left it blank for you, like they wanted you to write in the amount.
I have a problem thinking Miguel Ferrer left that blank check for him.
But even his dad, who's like super frugal and all about business and is apparently an investor, takes the first blank check that they get from his grandma and is like, huh, she wrote you a blank check, huh? That means you can just fill in any, like, he's straight up, like, super shifty out of nowhere. And I'm like, dude.
I don't know, because he's like, well, how much did they give you last year?
He says 1,000.
But then he realizes he has to fuck over his kid and doesn't actually fill it in with a good amount. So, anyways, this movie has no idea how banks work, no idea how, like, housing works, no idea how cashing money works, no idea how life just in general works. So he goes in, he cashes the check. It turns out that he tries to cash this check. He writes himself. Oh, no, sorry. Criminal escapes, hits, Preston's bike, almost runs him, almost kills him. And in a hurry, he writes him a check because he sees the cops and he's escaping. And so he jumps in his limousine or his car and he drives away, and gives Preston a blank check. Preston's like, oh my God, I'm going to be rich. He writes in $1 million. Well, the owner of this bank that he goes into is a money launderer for this criminal. And this criminal said, hey, I'm going to send somebody in to, you know, clean my money. I need you to cash it. I was going to come in with a check for $1 million.
It was the right time and the right circumstances. Right.
So he walks into the bank with the check and is like, I'd like to cash this. Also, just want to point out, the check is made out to cash.
Yes.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
You've never made a check written out to cash?
Nope.
That means they just give you cash.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
That means anybody can take that check in and turn it in for however much money.
Yep. Got it. All right. So anyways.
No bank account necessary.
Apparently not.
Now who doesn't know anything about banking, Derek?
Clearly I don't. So anyways, he ends up getting $1 million and then spends, I don't know, $50 million worth of stuff.
Yeah. That house alone.
Oh my God.
If it's in California, it's worth at least twice as much as you got it for.
Hey, those people only wanted $300,000 for it, okay?
No. They wanted $150,000 for it.
No, that's what the guy offered them.
Yeah, and they were going to take that until it became a bidding war.
They didn't want that. They wanted more.
But his mom fucked him on this deal.
We're losing listeners at this point.
Okay, I'm
because
sorry.
Of sore throatitis.
What does his mom have to do with anything?
Really. Look, just didn't like
go
his mom.
Go to Netflix and watch Blank Check. You'll understand.
All right. So I'll wrap it up here.
Hold on. I just need to address one issue.
Okay.
Okay, above all other fucking issues in this movie. There is this, I call her Budget Gina Davis, who plays a banker, and she's actually like a bank teller, but she's actually part of the FBI.
Right.
And they're trying to catch this money laundering business. And she has this very flirtatious relationship with this kid.
Like right off the bat, and it's already super creepy.
And like throughout the story, she's trying to find, cause he tells everyone he has a boss named McIntosh. So he's just trying to find, she's trying to find that person to catch him. But they kind of go on a date.
Yeah, it's so weird.
And then at the end, there's this like, well, meet up with me in 10 years. And he's like 5. And she's like 7. It's a date. And then she leans in to kiss him. Like, I'm thinking, oh, she's going to kiss him on the cheek.
Yeah.
And then she full on kisses him on the mouth. I mean, it's not like tongue action, but I was like, no, she did not kiss this 10-year-old on the mouth.
It's not okay.
Not okay.
But think
okay
about what it did for that kid's reputation.
Yeah.
Have you seen that actor nowadays? He's got like neck tattoos.
Yeah, no, he is full on Sons of Anarchy now. So despite everything that is like totally irrational about this movie, it is a lot of fun to watch. And it's actually super funny, and I actually went into it thinking, like, I'm going to hate this movie because, you know, I loved it as a child, and I like ruining things from my childhood. Mm-hmm. Turns out I actually really, really enjoyed it, and I found myself laughing on multiple occasions. So if you haven't seen it in a long time, I would actually recommend it. So I'm giving it a blast.
Awesome. All right. Let's go back one whole year from yours to 1993. I watched Cool Runnings.
Yeah.
And it's spelled Cool Runnings, but I had to say it the way. So, this is a very loosely based on actual events sports movie.
What do you mean?
Also done by Disney. Directed by John Turteltaub, about the Jamaican, bobsledding team and their creation. I'll try to keep this as brief as possible. This movie's a lot of fun. I remember seeing it when I was much younger. I think it still holds up today. Disney does the underdog sports movie so well. Like, they know their market, they know what they're doing here, and they nail it. There's some very big differences between actual life and what happens in the movie.
But it's not nearly as fun.
You know? Well, yeah, cause you can't have the Jamaicans show up and then everyone else is like, hey, welcome to the Olympics. Let's help you out. Oh, you guys don't have a sled? Use parts of ours. Here, this will help you get down the thing faster. You can't have that. Cause then it's just like, everyone's too nice.
You gotta have guys with European accents.
And of course, it's gonna be the Swiss that are douchebags.
Yeah, of course. Always need European accents to be complete dicks. In any sports movie, that's a must.
Hey, Jamaica.
So it's a great movie. It's you know, the story of this sprinter who wanted to go to the Olympics and his klutzy sidekick who
Dougie Fresh,
who's good at
push carts,
I guess.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then two other sprinters, and none of them get into the Olympics because one of them's a klutz. And but then it turns out that his father was offered a chance to do bobsledding back in the day, didn't do it, and he really wants to get in the Olympics. So he's like, we're going to do this. And everyone is against them because they're from Jamaica and bobsledding is an ice sport. It's a winter sport. And it's never been done before. It's madness, I tell you, madness. And so they in the face of adversity, John Candy becomes their coach. I know that's a incredibly vague statement, but he does.
Wasn't this his last film?
No. His last film was much worse. It was
one to go out on.
It's like Wagon's East or some shit. Like, I don't know. He did something that was not great as his last film. Anyway, so the way this movie ends, they finally, you know, get their shit together at the Olympics and they like kind of win over everybody. And then in the final day of the Olympics, they're having a killer run and their sled, which is a piece of junk, a bolt comes off it or something and they flip. Everyone thinks they're dead for a moment. And then they all stand up and they're intent on finishing the race. So they all, the four of them pick up their bobsled and they walk to the finish line. And in this moment, I was crying like a blubbering child. I don't even know what it, like for me, whatever it is, it's like honor. When people have honor, like the only Disney movie I've ever like, straight out cried at animated is Mulan. At the end when they all like kneel to her and I'm like, oh my god, they all respect her. I was like, I just lost it. Honor in the face of adversity, god. The underdog, like the whole like, you know, I said I was gonna leave you and I don't mean to, Mr. Frodo. Like all that. Like I'm like, oh god, Sam. And I start crying. So like it's a rare occurrence, but it does happen. And when they picked up that bobsled, I lost it. I absolutely lost it.
I did not think that this was going to be a real thing.
However, the reason that it didn't maintain the crying is because the stupid Swiss jerk off, who's a dick the whole movie, starts doing the... And I was like, I was like, get the fuck out of here. Is he slow clapping right now? No. Totally pulled me out of it. I was like, I was there. I was with him.
Oh, that's so
good.
I
was cheering. I was crying. And then this guy starts slow clapping and I was like, I'm out. Movie over.
So funny.
Ruined it.
So you're giving it a gas, obviously.
I am giving it. No, I am definitely giving it a blast. It is on Netflix right now. So if you haven't seen it, it's a feel good movie. Yeah. I think I did
just watch it recently, at least in the last year. And remember thinking like, God, this movie is really good. Like it hits all the points of a good feel good sports movie. Like it's a good film.
Yeah. It's the Mighty Ducks of bobsledding.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
Or I mean, maybe depending on which came out first, maybe the Mighty Ducks was the Cool Runnings of hockey. I don't know, but either way, it's good stuff.
At least they actually bobsled. They don't just get to the championships because one team caught the measles. Anyways.
Wouldn't that be great? It's like the only reason they got into the Olympics is because, like, Germany got the measles.
Yeah, that's how the Mighty Ducks did it.
All right, guys, let's take our first commercial break of the evening. And when we come back, we have an interview with the team from Comic-Con Revolution. We're going to find out what kind of stuff they're going to have at this comic convention in Ontario this year. I am very excited to hear about this. So be sure to tune in. If you have any questions for them, feel free. Message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
This is ChaoticRadio.com.
Oh, hi-ho, everyone. This is Kermit the Frog. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Joining us now, via telephone, Drew from Atomic Crush Events to talk about Comic-Con Revolution. Hello, Drew.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you, too, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much
for calling in.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah. So, I just want to get this out there. The name Comic-Con Revolution, I love that. It's so, it's so bold. It feels like you're leading this brand new era of Comic-Cons What?
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that we are, and that's kind of what we were going for, but it also kind of just sounds cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
no, it does.
In the end, I mean, we got a bunch of guys who have been around the industry, and in our opinion, you know, we kind of saw where a lot of people went wrong, where a lot of people went right, and we're trying to stick with where a lot of people went right, and we're hoping that does change things, because you read these stories all over the place about people who, you know, put on shows, and you know, they're looking for what they think is going to be a sweet money grab. And to be honest with you, when you start one of these shows, there is no sweet money grab. you're doing something because you love it, and you're doing something because you get your audience. And it's, you know, it's a slow build from something that starts off good and becomes something hopefully incredibly special for everybody who attends year after year. So
sure.
Mm-hmm. Now,
but I do want to actually announce that we have a very special guest coming, and I think it's going to be someone you guys really like.
Ooh.
His name is Joseph Gruhl.
Oh.
You guys know who that is?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the Swedish Dick from Cool Runnings.
Well, I'm excited.
He's
Canadian,
not
actually.
Coming, but he is not coming, but when you did refer to him as the Swedish Dick who did the slow cap, I did have to chuckle, so I did have to look him up and throw that out there.
I was like, who the fuck is Joseph Gruhl?
Which is funny, the name was fresh in my mind because I actually IMDb'd that earlier. I was looking up, I was trying to find out more information about
this guy.
The
seems like a Bond villain. Has he been in a Bond movie?
I was looking up the character because I was like, where was he from? Like, I didn't remember from watching the movie. And so you could click on the character name. Of course, it didn't tell me anything, but still.
Right.
Yeah, I just Googled Swedish Dick and he just came up.
That's the only thing that came up?
Well, obviously a bunch of other dicks, but, you know, primarily just him.
But that's the one he was looking for, really.
Oh, my goodness. Let's talk about Comic-Con Revolution. So is,
sure.
Obviously the, coming up on May 13th, it's in Ontario. Is this something that's going to be exclusively out here? Does Comic-Con Revolution happen across the country? How does that all work?
No, well, Revolution is exclusive to Ontario. Atomic Crush Events, who's the parent company behind it, you know, we're going to be doing other shows, hopefully across the country, but we wanted to start with an area that's never really had a con for itself.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to start with an area that had good proximity to talent who we knew we could, you know, convince to go there. And we wanted to go, you know, to an area that has a really strong desire for one of these shows, and we looked around and, you know, I mean, there are cons popping up every weekend all over the country, so it was tough to find a spot, but when we zeroed in on Ontario, it made a lot of sense. So, and so far the support from the community, has been incredible.
Yeah, well, I'm super, I mean, I live in Ontario, so the idea of a con being like right there is
exciting. When I first heard that there was going to be a con, this was before we even kind of set anything up, somebody sent me a link to it and they were like, did you know about this? And I was like, no, but I have to know everything now. I was like, there's a con in my neighborhood? I got really excited.
Well, we're excited too, and that's great. And, you know, anybody who's looking for any information can check us out on ComicConRevolution.com. So, I mean, it's got all the pertinent info and anything you can need to know. So,
okay. And is this is the first year for it?
Yes, this is the inaugural show.
Okay. And then it says the date of May 13th. So is it one day this year, or will it be a two-day event?
It's a one-day show because it is a new show, you know, we're... And this goes back to my comment about the money grab.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we knew with a first-year show is it'll have its struggles. And if we made a great one-day show, it made more sense to us than doing a mediocre weekend show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like, do we have enough stuff for a two-day show? Yeah, we could have. But again, it just made more sense. Let's put all of our best, you know, our best foot forward. Let's really try and blow the doors off that full day, and get people excited again for the future. Like I said, this is definitely not a planned one-off for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what, I mean, obviously, like you just said, anyone who wants, more information can go to ComicConRevolution.com. But what are some of the guests and kind of events and stuff that you guys are planning on having?
Okay, well, I mean, actually, and this is a serious announcement that hasn't gone anywhere yet. Ron Mars Yeah, absolutely. This is an exclusive, we call it. Ron Mars has actually just confirmed that he's coming to the show, and he's, if you're a Green Lantern guy, you know, he's kind of it. He did some revolutionary stuff when he's actually the guy, and spoiler alert, but this happened a bunch of years ago, so not really. He wrote the Emerald Twilight storyline, and if you're familiar with Green Lantern, it's when Hal Jordan, you know, went nuts with grief and just started killing everybody.
So he
ended up doing the Sinestro Corps Wars and you know, a ton of other stuff, but we're very excited that he wants to come. And, you know, when you get a big name like that who's willing to come and support the show and support what we're trying to do, it's great.
Sure.
So we're very excited about that. That'll officially go, you know, wide on our Facebook and other announcements tomorrow. Chris Bacallo, who's X-Men and Doctor Strange, he recently confirmed with us. Tim Bradstreet jumped on board immediately when we were doing this because, again, he knew what we were trying to do and who we are. Matthew Clark, who does a lot of the Injustice stuff, which is a very cool storyline. Mm-hmm. A ton of other comic people. And for video game fans, we have the voice actor cast from Overwatch. Popular game right now, and they're going to be doing a panel, and they're going to be talking about how they bring these characters to life, and, you know, it's like, that's, you know, that's cool stuff. It's, if you're not just into comics and you're into a little bit of everything, so, okay, a bunch of comic artists, then something like that. A good friend of mine from growing up, his name is Doug Jung. Doug recently wrote Star Trek Beyond with Simon Pegg. He's also working on God Particle, which is the next Cloverfield movie. He's working on, a new series based on another comic. So he's going to come and do a panel and meet and greet people and talk about, you know, in a panel how they bring a comic, you know, or a feature to life, you know, what goes into that. So, you know, if you're into movies, you get a really good behind the scenes talk from someone who's definitely done it.
Sure.
Which is exciting. You know, we've got other fun panels planned. Normal people, you know, who have regular jobs might spend their downtime drawing and doodling and, you know, relaxing that way. But what do comic people do to recharge their batteries? You know, where do they go to rejuvenate? And Mike Morris, who's done the Simpson comics, and Steve Gordon, who's done X-Men Evolution, they're going to come and talk about that. So, you know, there's some definitely fun stuff and diverse stuff being planned, the idea being that, you know, anyone who walks in the door is going to find something fun to do.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking over the list of guests here, and one of the things that I have nothing against, like San Diego Comic-Con or any of the bigger cons, but like for Derek and I, some of our favorite cons, like the Amazing Cons,
yeah,
we love, because those, we feel like those are more comic cons than pop culture cons,
right?
And looking at your list of guests and stuff, like, you do have some things from, you know, pop culture, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, you know, Overwatch, things like that, but you have a lot of comic creators involved in this show, and it's really refreshing. I love to see that kind of stuff with a comic convention, so
yeah,
I'm very excited.
Well, you know, we joked about it before, but that's part of the revolution. And again, that's part of what we're saying. And we've been around this stuff, working separately, together, at a lot of different places, my partners and I. And the idea really is that, yes, we can do a pop culture show and, you know, spend $1 million and bring in the cast of, you know, the Avengers and pay them each, you know, $100,000 to sit there and sign autographs. But that's not a Comic-Con. That's not, you know, that is a autograph pop culture. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Sure.
Cause that's great if that's what you're trying to do. But when I attended my first con and I walked through Artist Alley, that's when you can really appreciate what's going on, because you're seeing big name guys who are sitting next to no name guys, and they're doing their drawings.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, you know, that's what the comic median is. It's like, yeah, there's great stories, but it's the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it wasn't the case, then all these guys would just be authors writing books. You know, so it's like, how can you not appreciate that? And I'm glad that, you know, when you guys looked at the guest list, you know, you're seeing, okay, these are real comic players. These are people who, you know, are the guys who I love reading, and I love their artwork, and I love what they do. So,
and that's
been, but you know, you do.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say that's been one of our favorite experiences, and some of the best people that we've met by going to cons are people from Artist Alley and people who just have this brilliant creativity. And, you know, we do, puppets and we met them at the con and, but, you know, they're just, they're creators. They're people who are, you would never know that they exist if you don't go through. And if all you do is see these big pop star names, you're going to miss these really great gems of like some great new artwork. I, like my house is just designed by, artist that you, probably no one's ever heard of.
That's the only drawback about going to a con with a lot of great artists. Is we spend way too much money on stuff.
For
we have
sure.
No, we have no room for it, but we still buy it.
I always tell people if it's their first show, you know, what do I do at a show like that? What am I looking for? You know, and I said, the first thing you want to do really is you just want to walk through Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. And you just, because again, that's where the real talent is. That's where the real excitement is. So.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you personally about what's your biggest, area of any nerd sphere that you geek out about? Is it comics? Is it video games? Is it movies? What's your poison?
I thought it was going to be your favorite scary movie?
I don't like scary movies.
My
background is actually a little bit different. I actually came into this industry kind of, I guess, backwards in the sense that I was doing public relations work for a long time. And I left daytime television public relations, and I actually went to do PR for a company called Wizard, which I'm assuming you guys have heard of.
Yeah.
And I was
Who?
Wizard Entertainment.
I'll have to look them up.
They do a couple of shows every once in a while. You know, they used to have a little pamphlet. And I kind of got into it there, and it was hard not to. To fall in love with the industry, and from there I actually launched a collectibles company, which I did for a bunch of years, which was all video game collectibles, and then I sold that and was kind of looking for the next one thing to do, and I got approached by the team from Atomic Crush, who really have been immersed in this their whole lives, and said, hey, let's do something great. So, I mean, my full geek factor probably started with DC Heroes when I was a young man, and if I have to get my parents on the line to verify this, at the ripe old age of about 10 and a half months, we were in the car going somewhere, and my father was singing the Adam West Batman song, and I blurted out my first word, which was not mom, dad, or hi, it was Batman. So my geekdom started way back when.
That's strong. That's strong.
No, that's good.
So is, I mean, aside from being your first word, is Batman your favorite hero from DC?
I mean, it's hard not to like the guy. He's kind of got his shit together. I'm a big Superman guy as well, and that could be due to a God complex. If you got to give the thumbs up to someone, how could you not give it to the Dark Knight? He just can do it all.
We can be friends.
Have you ever?
I appreciate that,
Drew. Have you ever read there was a DC one shot years back called Speeding Bullets, where they crossed the backstories of Superman and Batman together, and so the baby Kal-El crashes.
Yeah,
on Earth.
He landed in Gotham.
Yep, and he's
not
found
only
by the Wayans.
Do I know it. It is one of, like, the five comics that I actually keep on my desk in plastic. And if you guys don't believe me, I will actually take a picture on my cell phone right now and shoot that to you guys.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I remember when I first found out about it, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I got to find it. And I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm looking and I can't find it. And then I finally find it on eBay, and I figured I was going to get hammered. And it totally was not. It was a very reasonable purchase, but I still do keep it, like I said, in the plastic. And I swear I'm gonna send this to you guys, because you know what, you guys can call me a lot of stuff, but you can't call me a liar.
I dig it.
I can't. You knew what I was talking about, so I believe you. It's one of my favorite stories.
Another great book, and this was something that. You know, I had found and kind of was like, wow, that's pretty sick. It was, the Planet Hulk stuff. And I remember the first time I met Greg, and I told him, I was like, you know what, dude, I don't read a ton of books. I said, but when I heard about this, I was like, wow, that's just so cool. Like, I can't, you know, I can't wait to check it out. And he was like, oh, yeah, I appreciate that. And he signed one for me, and it was a whole thing. But that was a great one, too. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Are we waiting this picture? Is it coming?
I don't know. It's coming. It's coming. Now I'm getting called out.
Now, Drew, you said you read Planet Hulk and you loved it. Did you also read the continuation and read World War Hulk?
I did, but I read it more so because I was excited by World War Hulk, Planet Hulk, but I thought Planet Hulk was much better.
Oh no, it was. It was. I think that's the general consensus.
So what are your thoughts on the upcoming Thor Ragnarok?
Well, I mean, just seeing that scene, it looks fantastic.
I knew we liked you, Drew.
Nah, listen, I mean, when he sees him and he screams out, yes, I know him from work.
We were talking about that scene off air and how great it was.
So, real quick, we're almost out of time here. We're almost to our next commercial break. So I wanted to real quickly ask, just about, Atomic Crush events. Aside from, Comic-Con Revolution, are there any other, events that Atomic Crush has coming up that you'd like to talk about?
Well, there's nothing confirmed yet that I can talk about, again, this is hopefully going to be, you know, the beginning of something special for us. And, you know, again, you've got guys who are passionate, you've got guys who really care, and like you said, you know, you've talked about the guest list yourself. You know, we're gonna continue to do great things, and you know, we'll let the first show speak for itself, and then kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. Dude, why can't I find your emails to send you this picture now?
All of a sudden.
How convenient. No, I'll hit you up during the commercial break. Make it easy on you.
No, it's coming. Hang on. I'm going to do this. Like I said, you guys can call me because you're going to come to the show and I don't want to get beaten up.
You lied!
Well, look, right.
Guy is full of crap.
Look,
Joseph Gruhl is in here. Joseph Gruhl is in here.
I came here for Swiss dick.
Wow. Oh, the fandom, the signs are coming, man. All those signs that say, I'm here for Swiss dick. Standing next to the Westboro people protesting.
Is it anything like Spotted Dick? Jesus. Anyway, I guess we should probably talk about the ticket cost, too. So if anyone who's interested in buying tickets for Comic-Con Revolution, there's two different prices, right? There's an adult price, 18 and up, is just, what,
$25? It's 25 for the day. Mm-hmm. And then if you are 13 to 17, it's 15, and then kids 12 and under are free.
Oh, nice.
Because you know what? Those kids don't have any money. We can't charge them anyway. So you know what? It's like it's you know, the kids will have a good time. We've got a great cosplay contest planned for kids and for adults. So you know, definitely come ready to rock and roll. We got some great prizes to give away as well.
I assume that's 12 and under when accompanied by an adult.
Yes.
You don't want the cast of Annie showing up.
I don't, these punks just can't come in and walk around my show. But yeah, and again, you know, ComicConRevolution.com, it's got all the info that you could ever possibly want and need, and then some. You know, we're still adding stuff. Things are still coming together. Programming is still coming together, which is cool. And, again, we'd love to have everybody come out. We love the support we've been getting from the area. Everyone's been amazing. We're thrilled that that's where we ended up going. So
are there still, if people are interested in being exhibitors or being an Artist Alley, are those opportunities still open or?
Artist Alley is sold out.
Artist Alley is sold out. Okay.
We do have some exhibitor space left.
Okay.
You know, we do have a wait list going for Artist Alley, but that unfortunately is gone. But yeah, if you're interested, you can, all that info is still on the site. You can email james@atomiccrushevents.com if you do want to try and get space.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want to thank you again for giving us a call here, because I know you're on the East Coast, yeah?
Yes, I am staying up a little bit later than I normally would have.
Super late over there,
but so. I did that for you guys.
Aww.
Mike, I just sent the email to you.
Okay.
So we're not going to commercial break until you guys verify that you got it.
Until I see it.
He wants confirmation.
This is a fan.
All right. Nice. Hold on.
Well, no, because I'm going to hang up and you guys are going to rip me for the slow clap and everything else. So I can't have that.
Oh, I got it. And I'm seeing it. Yep. There's a thumb print. There's a thumb on the comic to show me that it's real.
Dude, you could have taken that a whole different way and nobody would be the wiser.
I can't. Look, I'll turn the laptop.
Oh my god.
Yeah, look at that.
Yes.
Like, this was a comic when I saw it before I even knew what it was.
Yeah.
Just seeing Batman with the kind of the Superman shaped shield and he's like flying, I was like sold.
Yeah.
And then when I read it, it's one of the greatest stories. Like, so brilliant.
That's awesome.
But in the end, you know, Martha still dies.
Yeah, of course.
does he have that argument with himself?
Yeah.
Why did you say that name?
Worst thing ever.
He has that moment in a Superman 3 kind of situation. He fights himself.
Dude, the problem is Superman 3 made Batman Superman look like an Oscar winner. So.
Oh, I gotta
agree. What are they doing to us, man? What are they doing to us? Please just make a good movie. Justice League better not suck.
Wonder Woman's next, guys. Wonder Woman.
That's right.
We'll take it a step at a time.
Give us hope. Wonder Woman's giving us hope. Please.
Yeah,
that's
Wonder
the one
Woman
that needs to leads to nail it.
Yeah, it's gonna nail it.
So, all right, Drew. Well, we do have to take a commercial break.
We've received
the proof, so your street cred is intact.
Thank God.
We'll see you. We'll shake your hand. It's good.
We don't have to meet you by the flagpole at the convention.
although
in that situation, I feel like you'd have more friends than we would. So.
you can't stop the jack of all nerds.
You guys are all coming to the show, right?
Absolutely, sir.
Hell yeah.
We're looking forward to it, and thank you again for your support. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for being fans, and I really hope you guys are going to have a blast at the show.
I think we're going to. It looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. We can't wait. So.
Yeah, we're excited.
You have a good night,
sir. Excellent. You too. Take care, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, everybody. That was Drew from Atomic Crush Events talking about Comic-Con Revolution, which is coming up here in Ontario, California, May 13th. For tickets and more information, go to ComicConRevolution.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about this awesome song that's playing in the background.
Yeah.
No.
Yes!
We're going to talk about, there's a couple of trailers that dropped this last week. One being Thor Ragnarok and the other being The Last Jedi teaser, which was actually a lot longer than a teaser. But we're going to talk about that. Both of those when we come back. If you wish to join the conversation, give us a call 909-360-8330. Message us on Facebook, facebook.com/jackofallnerds. We will be right back.
It's raw. It's uncensored. It's live 24/7. It's chaoticradio.com.
You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds show on Chaotic Radio, puny Earth creature. Now where did I put that Illudium Pew-36 space modulator?
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Oh yeah. Before the break.
Ooh, make it sexy.
Yeah. Up next, another commercial-free block of easy listening.
And Marvin the Martian.
And sweet!
God. Anyway, before the break, we were talking with Drew from Atomic Crush Events about Comic-Con Revolution coming up here in Ontario, May 13th, 2017.
Mark your calendars.
That makes sense. 2016 would be too late. 2018, it would just be...
Oh, we missed it?
Be way too far in the future to be talking about it right now. So, anyway. But now comes the time where we talk about trailers.
Because if there's one thing we established last week on the show, it's that we don't talk about movies enough.
Yeah. We're really trying to, you know, branch out and talk about new things. And, you know, we had so much fun talking about this new topic last week that we felt we should really dig into it a little bit more and start talking about it again.
Well, there's new stuff now.
Yeah. Actually, before we get into that, though, there is one thing. There's one elephant in the room I would like to address.
Well, get it the fuck out of here.
I can't. It doesn't fit through the fucking doorway. It's an elephant.
Right.
Jesus.
Use your magic.
No, I wanted to talk for a moment about our Patreon.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that thing?
I do.
Where people pay us money?
Yeah.
And we send them boudoir shots. Boudoir Polaroids. Except we don't do that.
No, we don't. But, well, I don't. I don't know about anybody else on this show.
I send them upskirt photos of me. The response is amazing.
No wonder we have no patrons. So we have some patrons, and if you wish to become a Patreon, a patron, a patronus, whatever. I don't know what the actual term is. If you
we'll
want
take
to
take all of them.
If you want to support the show.
If you want to shoot Patron.
Yeah. Absolutely. You can absolutely do that. And the cost can be minimal or it can be extravagant depending on your budgetary, you know, things going on. You can put up as little as a dollar. As much as 50. Actually, I think you can maybe do more than that, but we only reward up to the 50. So, but here's the thing. Right now, our Patreon is only set up to give you like one, kind of reward. Just one, one pump. All right. The pump.
One and done.
And I'm looking to make it even better.
Ooh. Like two pumps.
Yes.
Trying to sweeten the deal?
Two pumps, Mocha. Yeah. So what I want to do, and this is, I'm throwing this idea out there mainly for our patrons. I want to hear from you guys. And if anyone is looking to become a patron and you're like, ooh, I'm interested in what you're offering, then you can also throw your ideas my way. But I want to start doing a monthly show that is exclusive for our patrons. Something short format, probably 30 minutes, maybe an hour, if I'm feeling frisky. But in that regard, this will be exclusively for our patrons, but I want to hear from you guys as to what the show is about. So tell us anything that you want to hear the show about. It can be nerd related. We could, like, you could talk history. We could talk sports. We could talk.
You could do your own version of drunk history.
Yeah, we could talk. Anything except for
that'd be a great show. I get drunk and Mike just tries to explain sports to me.
Oh, there you go, drunk sports.
Yeah. the only
so
thing,
I can just imagine just an hour of Derek going, "Who's on first?
Do it again."
The only thing that I say I will not talk about is math because. Like, I just can't wrap my brain around it. Science, I'll bullshit it. Whatever, I'll make shit up. Okay. Right. But, and if you, just to be a dick, if you send me messages like, I want to hear a show about math, I'll just pretend I didn't get them. So, that being said, but whatever you guys want to hear. And basically what I'll do is, whatever, if I get a general consensus, I will make the show about that. And then we'll do, or maybe it'll change month to month. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's anyone's game at this point. And by anyone, I mean our patrons. It's your game at this point. So please hit me up on Facebook or email me, michael@jackofallnerdshow.com, and let me know. Let me know what you guys want, and we're going to give you a little extra something. Just the tip, just for a minute.
Or 30.
Yeah, you know. But there you go. So,
I like it.
And anyone else is interested in maybe signing up to become a patron, you can do so at our website, jackofallnerdshow.com. There's a link to our Patreon from there. And please help us help you. Help us. So, moving right along. Trailers.
All right.
Everything must go.
Where do we want to start? You want to start Thor? You want to start Star Wars?
Let's start at Star Wars, because I think Star Wars is a bit more divided. I think we're all unanimous when it comes to the Thor trailer, so.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Let's fucking talk about some Star Wars, I guess. Can we, let's lay down some Star Wars theme music.
Yeah. This, I mean, it would at least make sense if there was like an actor that was in this that was in Star Wars,
Mike.
But fucking nobody, man.
Mike, I don't want to give you another project, but I kind of feel like the Last Jedi trailer needs this.
Oh, especially as the sun's coming up over Atu.
I kind of need this in my life.
And when Rey and Luke are practicing with their lightsabers.
Oh, man.
Yes.
They need to have a ship captain named Captain Ron.
Captain Ron.
Ron Solo.
I want him to just be, an X-Wing pilot.
Are you the captain of the Millennium Falcon?
Yeah. Rogue Ron.
Ron Rico.
Captain Ron, checking in.
I just steer the Falcon, boss. I don't really navigate.
Captain Ron, standing by.
Wow, I don't even want to do this trailer anymore. Can we just go watch Captain Ron?
Oh, dude, let's do a riff tracks, please. Can we please do a riff track?
I just want to see fucking Captain Ron in Star Wars now. Careful, there's pirates in these systems. Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, that's Mos Eisley, I mean.
Oh, shit.
Little dry rod there. Could happen to anyone. Oh, man.
Wow. All right.
So that's what we thought about the Star Wars trailer.
All right, now let's talk about Thor Ragnarok.
In all honesty, Thor Ragnarok. I just want to put Captain Ron in everything now.
Well, he's already in Guardians 2, so.
Oh, so good. Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, anyway, so Star Wars The Last Jedi teaser trailer came out. And people thought things.
They did. Nothing divides and explodes the internet quite like Star Wars.
This is true.
There were people that thought it was the second coming of Christ, much like Easter. There were others.
Isn't that ironic?
Yeah, weird. Ironic. There were others who were just kind of,
fuck you, Danny.
There were others who just kind of felt, okay. And then I know a couple of other people that just hated it and didn't think that it was
flat out hated it.
Yeah, just was.
How can you hate it?
Wholly unimpressed.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really think anything. Like for me, I didn't like it. I didn't hate it though. Like to me, it just didn't. It may as well not even exist to me because it just didn't do anything for me. It did not make me. I'm already excited to see the movie. That is a given.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this did not raise my excitement level in any way. It just did nothing for me. It felt like, and I know we brought this up off the air, but Matt posted up a statement that said, this Star Wars trailer looks like every other Star Wars trailer, and he's not wrong. Like, it does.
And look, I am one of the people that jumped on his comment thread and was like, a plague on both your houses! But, in retrospect, yeah, it's pretty much exactly like every other trailer for Star Wars, especially the teaser, because I think we mentioned this off the air. I think if you played the Force Awakens teaser and this teaser, I want to say they're almost identical. Mm-hmm. Almost kind of shot for shot in the way that they kind of start and end. And it, so, yeah, it is very similar. I personally thought it was great. I know that Star Wars does a really good job, and their intention is always to never give too much away. So the teaser is always going to leave more questions than it is going to answer, which is something that, you know, they're going to do all the time. So.
Yeah, and seeing this, maybe because I'm just not asking any questions, maybe that's where I'm at with it. Like, there's no questions burning in my brain at the moment, so the trailer I wasn't like, ooh, what's that? Oh, I'm reading into this helmet that's crushed on the ground. Like, I wasn't, for me, it was just like, all right, yeah, no, that's going to be in the movie. Yeah, no, I expected that. All right, that's cool.
For nerds like us, pun intended.
Yeah, Bernie Bergerman.
we've seen some of the iconography in the trailer, or the teaser, and we, as Star Wars fans, know what a fair amount of that iconography is. I mean, when Rey's like looking at it looks like a book, you see the Jedi, Jedi symbol,
yeah,
and it's
the
like,
symbol of Jedi,
like, we know what that is. So it's like, okay, we know that Luke has been going from Jedi Temple to Jedi Temple. Maybe he's collecting artifacts to try to find, some new secret.
Yeah, maybe he's murdering younglings. Maybe
We don't know.
Taking up the family business.
I mean, just following him in his dad's footsteps.
The one thing that did kind of raise an eyebrow on me was the whole quote that he had at the very end of the teaser, which was, "The one truth that I know is that it is time for the Jedi to end."
Oh, yeah, and everybody losing their shit.
Yeah, everybody lost their shit.
I included. I was what? Who the fuck, what, when?
Now, that, to me, could mean one of two things. Either, like, Luke has given up all hope and is just decided, you know what, the Jedi was the wrong path. Their dogma is just, it's outdated and it doesn't work. Or it means the Jedi and the Sith need to just both be gone, or both exist in a way that they kind of feed off one another and thrive off one another. Like, instead of, the way I put it is like on a scale. Yeah. If you have the light and the dark on polar opposite sides, they're both going to be battling, and that's going to cause the imbalance.
Yeah, I feel like if you have to read into it, I think it is that he's not, because that's what everyone's like, oh, he wants to kill the Jedi. I feel like he means the Sith and the Jedi as a whole need to be gone,
yep,
kind of a thing, if that's, you know, the way you want to look into it. But to me, it didn't, like, for me, it was just like, they're just trying to make the, you know, they're trying to make it titillating.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was titillated. Yeah. The end of that really got me, like, it just because, you know, especially because it, you know, as we know now, it is coming from Luke. And so that raises a lot of questions about, like,
right,
who is Luke in this movie? And, right, and
cause we don't get to see that.
We don't.
The other
we don't at all. So that to me, and like you said, I'm already going to see it. So, you know, I already want to know, but, you know.
And I think it's one of those where it leads to all these, like, I don't even know how many fan theory things I saw pop up after that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it's just like, so at the last, yeah, I get it. The end of the last movie, Luke rips his face off and reveals he's the Joker, and he fucking stabs Rey in the heart, and he just wants to kill all the Jedi. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's all it is. Like, everyone's just speculating their own shit.
I had one. Somebody had one theory that Kylo Ren is actually working for Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm sure Luke was just on an island. Like, you know who needs to die? That fucking Han Solo dude. Can you, can you just fucking get rid of him for me? I'm sure nobody will mind.
We haven't spoken in years, but he owes me like 30 credits.
I bought him dinner.
Yeah, no, you know what? He shot first. Fuck that guy.
With interest.
And a jug of blue milk.
Oh, you know, I was watching. Actually, I wasn't watching. I was editing. I was editing a bunch of clips of original Star Wars. I was.
They're great, by the way.
I was. They'll be released soon. I was based. Yeah. So what I was doing is I was taking out Darth Vader's voice, and I was making him British, and I was changing the dialogue to if he was British. If he was Kalen, basically, if Kalen were Darth Vader.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And it's pretty spectacular, the end results. But in doing that, I had to watch a lot of the original clips. And there's one line from the original Star Wars that, based on the sequel or the prequels, like, bugs the fuck out of me now. And it's the guy who he force chokes. And he's like, your belief in that ancient religion. Like, ancient, hold on, buddy. There was a fuck ton of Jedi like 20 years ago. That's not ancient. That's not an ancient religion.
I mean
you could say that, but the way he said it didn't mean like ancient in that it goes back. Like, you wouldn't be like, you wouldn't talk to a Christian and be like, oh, you're ancient religion.
Yeah, right.
Because it's still believed today. Yeah. When you say something is ancient, it refers to it being like long since past.
Yeah, right.
And obviously that was just a plot hole because
George Lucas can't write.
Yeah, he didn't plan this shit out like
yeah,
that.
No, not at all.
Like he claimed to have.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
It's actually, you know, I planned it as a 6-part thing the whole time.
Yeah, No, you didn't.
You were just running low on money.
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
You tried to make it like an old serial, hence the name, episode 4. Like, that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
It was a gag.
Yeah. And the only reason everything changed is because people were like, oh, who's this Darth Vader guy that keeps getting shit on in the first one? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no, he's like the baddest villain in the galaxy. Fucking out of nowhere, he's a pimp in Empire Strikes Back. But if you fucking watch A New Hope, he is nothing better than a glorified SS officer. Like, that's it. That's all he is. Everybody fucking talks down to him, and he really doesn't do much. He's like, yeah, okay, all right. If I could force choke you right now, I would, but I'm not going to because I'm a bitch. Like,
and I mean, the Death Star does get blown up on his watch. So
yeah, that's true.
Let's not ignore that.
Well, technically,
fact.
He wasn't in charge.
He was like second in command.
Yeah.
Everyone, like third, look, or when people call you Lord, okay, I don't care if there's a Grand Moff on the station. All right.
It almost feels like he went to the Emperor and he's like, but I want them to call me Lord. Everybody just says it reluctantly. They're like, Lord Vader.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, because like I think, and honestly, like Vader and Tarkin were the two guys in charge of that station. Tarkin was so short-sighted and full of himself that he's like, they couldn't possibly defeat us. And Vader was like, I think they might defeat us. I'm gonna go check it out. You know. So, what all this has to do with The Last Jedi? I have no idea. Anyway,
Last Jedi, yeah.
Yeah. So the other thing, that aside from just the trailer that got all kinds of fucking flack, and I know because I joined in, the poster
was
released. So now...
Wow. Minimalist. Very minimalist.
Very minimalist. But
what an internet gem that was.
There's Rey, and she's got her lightsaber in the sky, and it has the beam very much reminiscent of the original Star Wars poster with Luke.
Yeah.
And the internet lost its shit, and even I jumped in because it reminded me of Tron, the original Tron.
Yep.
And so I put Tron over it, and Twitter fucking loved it.
It fucking worked.
I had more retweets and likes than I think I've ever had on Twitter.
Yeah, no, it was great.
I'm just imagining the soundtrack for that movie. John Williams meets Daft Punk. That'd be magic.
Yeah. But yeah, the fucking internet lost it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so many.
Yeah, I know. I'll get random ones that just pop up in my newsfeed, and I'm like, that's pretty good.
But that's also the society we live in. I don't think that poster, I mean, it could have been anything.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think it would have
mattered.
Somebody
would have torn it apart.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered.
That's the internet, man. That's
I mean, unless you did, because I think Force Awakens did a kind of, I feel like Star Wars as a whole has started doing, like, they have a specific format to their posters where you have, like, the characters and there's space and there's ships and stuff like that.
There's at least one lightsaber being
a collage. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, they have a formula, and I think maybe if it had been that formula, everyone would have just been like, oh, yeah, it's Star Wars, and nothing would have come of it except for, you know, the occasional person who photoshops fucking Donald Trump into things or whatever. You know what I mean? But, like, this, because it was, like, a deviation from that, the internet was like, oh, yeah? Well, fuck your creativity.
It's Tron now. Yeah. I hope you're happy. Yep.
That's actually exactly, that was what I said when I did it.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that falls into that theory that I have about where Luke thinks... Like, where he wants to take the whole balance of the Force thing, because in the poster, the lightsaber starts out blue, and as it creeps to the top, it starts turning red.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of leaves you wondering what's going to happen to Rey. Is she going to start, like, kind of struggling with the light side and the dark side like Kylo is? So.
Yeah. And I know the movie's titled The Last Jedi, and I did have one of our listeners confirmed that the title is meant to be, it's Jedi plural.
Yeah.
There's that, but look, guys, calm down. It's not going to be The Last Jedi. People fucking like Jedi too much.
It's true.
They're going to be in every movie.
It's
true. Yeah, I mean, The Last Starfighter wasn't The Last Starfighter. Oh, wait.
Oh,
there was two of them. Oh, wait, no, that was his co-pilot. Never mind. But it didn't matter, because he killed everyone with his Death Blossom.
I mean, and the Last Dragon wasn't... Oh, God damn it.
But Ferngully wasn't the last rainforest.
That's true. Okay, wait.
Or was it?
No, it wasn't.
What year was it made?
I'm pretty sure they made like 8 of them.
Okay.
To the point where like it's actually kind of hard to find the original because they're all named like Ferngully, the rainforest in...
It's on sale on Vudu right now as part of their Easter sale.
You can get it just Jedi mind trick him?
Yeah, you can get it digital.
He totally did.
You're gonna go buy it now for $9.99 or whatever it is.
I think I'm gonna go buy Ferngully, guys. The original one.
But you will not buy Ferngully 2.
That sequel, not good. Not good. Not gonna do that one. Oh, wow.
So any other comments about the trailer?
I think it still gave me chills only in the fact, like, just like, I like what they did with the music. How it's kind of the original opening theme, like Luke's theme, but it's kind of been distorted, slowed down a little bit, and it's definitely meant to, like, evoke some kind of emotion. And that I think was what gave me chills, was just the change in the music.
I really enjoyed it. I think it's a great way to, like you said, it's a way to kind of titillize your already desperate audience for anything that they could possibly get their hands on.
Star Wars footage.
Star Wars footage. Yeah, it's just, I think that's kind of where the hype day. I thought it was a very well-made trailer, and, you know, my excitement for this is still through the roof, so.
Yeah. Well, like I said, my excitement has never waned. Like, I'm on board. Force Awakens, I thought, was great, despite all of the, it's just Star Wars.
They're all just Star Wars.
That's what I fucking liked about it.
Yeah,
like,
they're all just Star Wars.
They
guys,
recaptured the magic of the original film for a new fucking generation.
Yeah,
and they did it really well.
Yeah.
So,
like I said before,
with better acting and directing.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've said this before, but A New Hope really isn't that good.
I don't.
I'm
look,
just gonna throw it out
the thing,
there.
I don't give a fuck if The Last Jedi has Cloud City and Kylo Ren sets up a trap with Blando Calronian. I don't care. Like, I don't give a shit. I will watch the fuck out of that movie.
I will.
Well, I will say this. The planet, the desert planet, it is a mining planet, so.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yes. I'm so down. I don't care. That's the thing. It's like,
fucking freeze Finn in carbonite. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, that sucks. He just gets out of the back to tank and you're gonna fucking put him in a carbonite.
God damn it, that'd be so great.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, that felt refreshing. Oh, god damn it.
Fucking infinitely friend zoned because he just can't
can't get a moment alone with a damn girl.
He doesn't even get his classic I know moment.
No, that would definitely be reversed. He'd be about to be lowered in and he'd be like, I love you. And she'd be like, I know.
She'd be like, yeah, thanks.
And then he'd be like, no, I wasn't talking to you.
Poe?
Yep.
And then Poe gives that sexy-ass look.
Poe bites his lip. You still look great in my jacket.
I know.
I love you, FN27.
And then BB-8 gives a thumbs up and we're good.
I think we just wrote The Last Jedi, guys.
All right. Disney, get
The Last Jedi Strikes Back.
Call those fuckers over at Disney.
All right, let's take our final commercial break of the evening, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the trailer for Thor Ragnarok. So if you want to join in the conversation, give us a call, 909-360-8330.
Thor Ragnarok forever.
Or message us on Facebook, facebook.com/Jack of All Nerds. We will be right back.
Listening to the Deadpool show, starring me, Deadpool.
What?
What do you mean that's not on the cards? Oh, all right. You're listening to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Chaotic. I'm gonna go get some pancakes.
Welcome back to the Jack of All Nerds on Chaotic Radio. Before the break, we were trying to talk about the new Star Wars Last Jedi trailer, and I think we failed, pretty much.
I think we ended up just talking about Captain Ron.
And other Star Wars.
And other Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, that Star Wars teaser didn't
Well, you've seen one Star Wars, you've seen them all.
Thank you, Jewish mom.
No problem. With a touch of throat cancer. Anyway, so now we're moving on to something else that looks Star Wars-ish. Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Very similar.
As far as Norse mythology goes, yeah. Very similar. Like with the music and everything.
In that they take place in space. And stuff.
That's right. Thor Ragnarok.
Actually, I only say that because everyone's comparing it to a Guardians trailer, and everyone compared Guardians to Star Wars when it came out, so there you go.
So vis-a-vis ipso facto.
So
I'm your boss.
I'm your boss. I don't think, okay. Sorry. I have.
Breathe.
Have thoughts.
Take a second. Collect them.
I have thoughts about the people that hated this trailer.
Uh huh.
So some people hated this on the premise that they just didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy, which to me kind of feels like you just don't like fun things, which is fine if you're dead inside. I get it. But the Thor series, as far as it exists in the film, in the Marvel universe, forget, I know everybody wants to have a heart attack about like the actual Thor Ragnarok and how it exists in the comics. And it's like, we can't always do that, especially in the Marvel universe in film, because they've changed a number of things, especially in the Thor kind of world, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So first of all, if that's your first criticism, like, you should just abandon it altogether, because you know that that's not what they were going to do in the first place. Secondly, Thor has been so vastly underused as a solo character in the Marvel Universe. So if you take the first one, they really did kind of shoo him in. And it has nothing to do with how good Chris Hemsworth was, because he is. He's great in that movie.
Yeah, he's great as Thor.
But that movie as a whole, the story and the introduction of him, doesn't stand up as well as, like, Iron Man. And
And the Dark World plot was even worse.
It was even worse. And, the only thing you need to know from the Dark World is that there's an Infinity Stone in it. That's it. There's literally nothing else happens.
Well, that's all you can take. Wait, like, who is the bad guy? Tell me.
Malekith.
Some guy.
Christopher Eccleston.
Some elf.
Yeah, you say it was Christopher Eccleston. How do I know?
Because of that fucking voice? That sounds like he's giving a can of helium mouth sex?
Jesus.
Actually, I feel like they modified, because he does have a very distinct voice.
Yeah, he does.
And I feel like they modified it a little bit in some way. They gave him the Bane treatment.
Yeah. But that movie is just so forgettable. And even if you liked it, it's still not, there's no way you can put it in your top of like the Marvel films. But again, that has nothing to do with how good Tom Hiddleston is as Loki.
Well, I was going to say
Chris
that.
Hemsworth is. Like, they're great. They're great. But the movie around them isn't good. And I felt like from this trailer, this was the first time I saw anything about Thor by himself where I was like, fuck yeah, I'd watch this.
Well, I just want to get this on the table. Can we just all agree to call Thor the Dark World Loki the Dark World?
Yeah.
Because that was Tom Hiddleston's movie.
Also guest starring Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it really was. That was because that was when like that character was so popular everywhere that they were like, okay, how can we make a Loki movie, but call it a Thor movie? And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. So, absolutely.
And of course, he's going to be in this one too. Like, there's no getting around that. No. But this does look like, I mean, hopefully it's going to feature Thor.
Yeah.
And mostly Thor.
I think it will. I think the Loki hype train has kind of come to a slowdown, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the thing, like, I will say that, like, if this were a few years ago, and this trailer would have dropped, everybody, all the comments that you would see would be like, oh, Loki's in it! But no, now you get, he cut his fucking hair! Thor cut his fucking hair!
Yeah, so, pretty much.
Very different atmosphere now.
It is. But it's also, there's so much more that's been established from, you know, the Dark World until now. And I think we've just kind of grown to, I guess, I actually really enjoy Thor when he's surrounded by all the other characters. Mm-hmm. And now knowing that, like, Hulk's going to be in it, Doctor Strange is going to be in it. Honestly, guys, you really can't hate anything when Jeff Goldblum shows up. I just...
Tell that to Resurgence.
Look, you just can't hate him. That's what I'm saying. All right.
Jeff Goldblum was Jeff Goldblum in Independence Day Resurgence. Like, he was fine.
I'm pretty sure he's Jeff Goldblum in Thor Ragnarok. Yeah.
He was fucking apartments.com like a motherfucker in
the apartment internet.
Yeah.
It does. When I see that part in the trailer, when he's like, what have you brought for me today?
ladies and gentlemen, the, incredible. I'm just like,
fight the Hulk, change the world.
It is a weird casting.
It totally is.
It works.
I love Jeff Goldblum. I do. But it was one of those where like the first even hint of him being cast was the picture of him with the blue lip going on. And you're like, what the fuck is happening?
Is that a picture from Earth Girls or Easy?
Yeah. But I will say, I'm enjoying Mr. Goldblum's resurgence.
Wow. Got him.
Like,
strong.
Like, maybe the movie choices aren't the best, but I'm glad to see him back on the big screen and stuff, because he, again, apartments.com. Maybe we can blame that for his coming back. People are like, hey, he's still alive. Let's use him and stuff.
He was just living off that Jurassic Park money, man.
Yeah.
So I heard a lot of people also complaining about the humor. This is what's just amazing to me, is that people were complaining about the humor and how fun Thor looked and the color schemes. And I'm just like, the fuck is wrong with you?
It's Thor. It needs to be dark and gritty.
No, but we already tried that, and it sucked. And that's called the Dark World. So... yeah, give it the Guardians of the Galaxy treatment. Yeah, I don't care.
Not even the treatment. Just throw a Guardians of the Galaxy wash on it, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I think everybody that I saw was comparing it to Guardians. They're like, oh, it's Thor, Guardians of the Galaxy, Guardians like 2.5.
And what's wrong with that?
And yeah, there's like, they're in the same fucking universe, guys.
Yeah.
They're in the same probably going to have a meetup in this. This is probably going to be the post-credit scene.
Yeah, and that would be the perfect place for it. Like, they're out in space now. The Guardians are in space. We got to tie all this shit together before Infinity War.
Yeah.
So, like, this is the perfect time for it. So it makes complete sense. And I still didn't, like, I watched the Ragnarok trailer and I watched the Guardians 2, and I'm not like, oh, yeah, they just ripped off the Guardians trailer. Yeah. Like, to me, maybe the soundtrack is very reminiscent of that. I'll give you that much. But I thought that this just looks like a very fun, unique adventure featuring Thor.
Yep. I agree.
And the Hulk.
and the Hulk.
Buddy cops.
In all fairness, though, Thor Ragnarok could have been just an hour and a half of Thor and his roommate.
Oh God!
In Australia,
and I want to say
those little shorts that they've been making. It could have just been so good. And I would go see it.
Yeah, no.
Thank God for those, because up until those, Thor has been a very just kind of mythological character, in that he's just very stoic and kind of plain.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever they did, they made him more human, more like funny, I guess.
I just think he's just more relatable.
Yeah, because like, how do you relate to a Norse god?
There's a lot that we're not seeing behind the scenes too.
Yeah.
You know, when the first Thor did establish that, he was this arrogant warrior.
Right.
And by the end of it, he's humbled. And so there's some growth there. In the second one, he ends, where he's, you know, out of his own planet. He's now stranded in Midgard, on Earth. And then you're only seeing him in the Avengers movies. And he's not in Civil War. So, like, there's a lot that we're not seeing behind the scenes that is, you know, maybe him adjusting to living amongst mortals, and maybe that's making him more that way.
Yeah, and I think we've seen him now in, what, 5 films almost? 4 or 5?
Thor 1,
including
2.
Doctor Strange?
Well, no. That was just the...
No, so let's say 4.
Because usually the teaser stuff is actually filmed from that movie, so I'm sure that is from Thor Ragnarok, that footage we saw.
Yeah.
So, four movies?
So, 4 movies. So... over the course of those 4 movies, he's spent 80% of that time in Midgard, around humans. So, like, as he's been developing, like, he does become a lot more relatable, and he's got banter with people, and he's got, you know what I mean? So now, being able to take that and isolate it in his solo film, I think you're gonna have a much better movie. I don't know. Yeah. I don't understand how people are like, it's too funny, man. That can't be good. Like, who the fuck says that?
But that's the thing. The Thor movies have had humor scattered throughout. That was, you know, a lot of people complain about the first Thor, but the fish out of water aspects of that movie worked incredibly well, and the humor was great, and it was natural. And I felt like the humor that was in this trailer was also very natural. Like, Thor loves to fight.
Yes.
Like, he's the Wonder Woman of the Marvel Universe, okay? He's a warrior.
Yeah.
That's what he loves to do. So when he gets hyped and pumped to see that he's going to be battling his buddy from the Avengers, like, that is such a genuine moment, and it's great. It's funny. It's natural. Like, I don't know what people are bitching
about.
And I
feel like that's pretty fucking classic Thor. Like, that, you know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know. I just couldn't believe that people were upset by that moment. Like, that is such a great trailer, teaser, movie moment of, like, you know, that he sets up in this battle and he puts on his helmet and he's fucking ready to go, and out comes Hulk and he's just like, yeah, it's so good. It's such a great moment.
And I just want to say this. What the fuck happened to Lady Galadriel?
She got goth and
yeah,
hot.
She got, yeah. Yeah. Oh man, she's yeah. rocking that black eyeliner.
That scene where she fucking shatters his hammer. Not okay. Hold on.
Yeah, when, she takes that hammer.
Sorry, guys.
All of it, every inch of it.
I had to backtrack. Let's call it Mjolnir. Let's call it what it actually
yeah.
is.
Yeah, let's call it Mjolnir.
I didn't even realize how terrible that was going to sound.
She just takes it in her hand and works the shit out of it.
Anyways, that moment where she does that, if they did Thor Ragnarok the way they did the Star Wars trailer, and like they just had it like kind of dark and like you see Thor, you know, in this weird world, and he's captured, and he's, you know, whatever, and then it ends with him fucking throwing Mjolnir at her, and she just fucking catches it and shatters it, and that's the end of the trailer. I was like, I got goosebumps when I saw that moment. I was like, holy shit. I don't know much about Thor because I don't really give a fuck, but that was like, show me more. I want to know more.
Would you like to know more?
Yeah, this weapon that has been just ridiculous for all these movies, the most powerful thing we've ever seen, and she just like, nope.
Not today.
Just palms it. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. Strong.
Crumbles in her hand.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah. One of the things that is not actually in the trailer that I'm very excited for is Carl Urban.
Yeah. Scourge.
Joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Scourge.
So two Lord of the Rings alums.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I guess, reuniting Benedict and him from Star Trek. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they probably don't have any scenes together, but you know what I mean? Like, it's just, like, all this stuff coming together. Yeah. Basically, eventually, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to have every actor ever
involved. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just a matter of time.
You guys, I've said this before, but we're, like, three sequels away from the Fast and the Furious joining Guardians of the Galaxy. That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Vin Diesel's already in the universe, so.
Yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility, guys. Yeah. And then Riddick gets in there somewhere, and Vin Diesel just gets to play two people.
Or three.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. We've already made it, the Fast and the Furious. We did that years ago. We did. We've been ready for this, guys.
We did.
One thing that I think, like, was it Nerdist News was saying it, and a couple other people were saying it, were, like, we still have to see the Soul Gem, the Soul Stone. And being
We haven't seen all of them yet, so we...
And that's the last one.
Had some ground to cover, yeah.
Oh, that is the last one, huh?
Yeah, being that Hela is in it, and she's, you know, pretty much the goddess of death, the goddess of the other world. I think that's where her power is coming from, why she's able to catch Mjolnir and destroy it like
sense.
That and destroy Asgard by just essentially thinking of it. It's potent. They brought this up that, granted, the way she does destroy Asgard is like with orange fire. The Soul Gem is orange, much like the same way the...
Yeah, and I actually don't know I don't know that she actually destroys Asgard. Because from what I've read, Thor is basically she comes through, captures him, and he has to fight Hulk in time to get back to Asgard before she destroys it.
Okay.
And I doubt that they'd just wipe out his whole homeworld. But who knows? Maybe they will.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
Yeah, he will not be able to see very well, Cotton.
But and actually, it looks like we're seeing all of the Asgard alum are going to be in this movie. Sif, Heimdall,
Volstagg,
Odin, yeah, everybody,
yeah,
Hogan,
everybody, and Sam Neill.
Yeah, well, Sam Neill, he doesn't have a character credit yet, does he?
No, he doesn't.
No, there was speculation that he might be playing one of the Ancients, because you already have the Grandmaster and the Collector, they're brothers. And Sam Neill, I think they said his name was, I think either the janitor or the gardener.
Well, one of those shit. Two. If I was not signed up before, I am sold now.
And he also could be the Watcher, which would be cool to have him play.
You know, I could see him with just like a giant bald cranium. Mm-hmm. I could see him being the Watcher.
I'd be okay with this.
If they went that route.
I would be okay with it. I fucking love Sam Neill.
Yeah. Oh my God. Two Jurassic Park alums in the same movie.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Wow. Oh, wow.
We just better get a Must Go Faster line.
God. Just have the Grandmaster and the Watcher talking about chaos.
Not non-linear equations? No? Jesus. No? Not if a butterfly flaps its wings in Tokyo, you get a rain instead of sunshine in Seattle.
You didn't stop to ask yourself if you see if you should.
You wield it like a guy who found his dad's gun.
It's crazy. Anyway.
Wow.
What you call the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I call the rape of the natural world.
Life finds a way.
Yeah. In any event, I'm very excited for this film.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I think what we're seeing here is a reverse Iron Man. And that's not a sexual position, ladies.
It's like, well, yes, I would like to know more.
But think about it. Okay. So, Iron Man, tremendous film. Phenomenal film.
Still holds up, by the way.
Iron Man 2,
okay film.
You know, I enjoyed it more than most other people.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
Most people are like, eh.
Yeah.
And then Iron Man 3, it's awful.
So bad they just didn't even address it in Avengers.
And while I don't think the original Thor, where I don't think the original Thor is awful, I think we're definitely going in the reverse. Like, I feel like Ragnarok has the potential to be like the Iron Man of the Thor series.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
And like I said before, all in all, the trailer, this is the first time where I'm actually excited to see a Thor solo movie.
Yeah.
And that hasn't happened with the two previous ones. So.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I don't have anything else to say about that trailer. I'm excited. And that's all there is to that.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Not a good movie, by the way.
Are you talking shit on Forrest Gump?
I am, actually.
Real quick, before you get all Gump on me. do you guys think, because Guardians comes out before Thor, do you guys anticipate seeing any crossover or teasers for Ragnarok in Guardians?
The only thing I could possibly think of seeing, and it's not really a teaser for Thor. Okay, maybe one thing, maybe. But what I'm thinking is maybe Thanos. Maybe you see he's got the gauntlet and he's already got maybe one or two stones.
So you think he's gonna start getting the stones across the course of these next few films?
Yeah, because what was it? It was after Age of Ultron where he puts the glove on. He's like, all right, I'm going to start doing this. So
I'll do it myself.
He's got a couple movies now where he's probably out looking for shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if he doesn't have at least like two stones, I'm gonna say like he's been slacking.
So maybe like an end credits scene of just the fucking broken body of Vision with his fucking gem ripped out of his skull.
Oh, that'd be great, but probably not that. Maybe him raiding Odin's vaults.
I'm still curious as to how he's getting that stone without killing the Vision.
I am too.
Oh, he's probably going to kill the Vision. People are gonna die in Infinity War, man. It's gonna be gnarly.
But we just got him.
We found out he loves to cook. It's God.
He loves sweaters.
He's got to bone the Scarlet Witch at some point.
Oh, wow.
With a vibranium penis. Okay.
Yeah. Does in the comics, now I know I just said we shouldn't compare, but in the comics, does Thanos actually kill Vision?
He kills pretty much everyone.
I know he wipes out a lot. I mean, like, kills.
But not
kills.
Like that, because Vision doesn't have the Soul Stone in the comics.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
or not
why
the Soul Stone,
for
the
me,
Mind Stone.
That's why for me, when they did that in the movies, I was like, that's an odd choice.
Yeah.
Because, when Thanos gets that thing, like, the Vision, I think the Vision helped quite a bit in fighting Thanos, and it's like, yeah, but you're gonna rip that out of his head. They put it in the gauntlet. So
saving it—that's his life. That's why he is what he is.
Yeah.
But I mean, they did drop that line in Civil War, like where he's like, maybe the more I learn about it, the more I can control it. And then if he learns how to live without it, that's a way they can go. Another thing, the other post-credit scene or tie-in that I was gonna say is maybe it might be Hela going to Thanos and saying, "I have the soul gem. You know, do this for me. You can have it." And then I think somebody said something about setting her up as Death.
Yeah.
And we all know that Thanos has a courtship with Death, so maybe there might be something there.
Or we cut to the broken body of Hela, and
Thanos?
I just want to see Thanos kill someone, that's all.
Just sitting in a chair, not doing it for me.
Yeah.
Someone's dying in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Like permanently. Again, him,
oh, yeah, no. Somebody is definitely.
Like, sure, him opening his vault and pulling out the power glove was cool and all, but I want to see him fucking do something and not just make threats. You know, don't talk to me that way, boy. Whatever. Just fucking,
boy.
Yeah. Oh, We didn't talk about that at all.
Your politics.
Oh, yeah, that was actually some big news that
big
was announced.
News, yeah.
We totally glossed over it. Now we've got 4 minutes to talk about the fact that Josh Brolin has been cast as Cable.
And if there is not a reference to Thanos in Deadpool 2, I am going to be pissed, and I will be on Twitter calling out Ryan Reynolds. You had your chance, motherfucker. Do not waste it.
Yeah, so of all the casting choices that could have been, apparently Josh Brolin has nailed it in the end.
I don't mind it. I think it'll be great.
I don't mind it at all. I still feel like Stephen Lang would have been
Stephen
a better
Lang
choice.
Yeah. But he's getting on.
But whatever.
He's
got his
agree.
Sweet gig in a wheelchair on Into the Badlands. So
it's pretty sweet. It's a pretty sweet gig. You just get to be a badass and you don't even just stand up when you go to work.
I know.
It's pretty awesome.
Does it get any better than that?
No, I do believe that Stephen Lang would have been the best choice. But I don't think Josh Brolin is a bad second.
Yeah.
I think Josh Brolin is one of those actors who can really become whatever it is you need him to be. And I think he's proven in the good films that he does. I think he's fucking way fun to watch. And I actually think him and Ryan Reynolds will play off each other very, very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's funny because there was, when so many names that were thrown out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would have still loved to see Keira Knightley.
I mean, serious names that were thrown out there.
Still.
God. Because, what was it, like Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
They were saying.
Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, was Dolph Lundgren?
Yeah.
Oh, Dolph Lundgren was in there for a while, yeah. Russell Crowe.
Yeah, Russell Crowe. Shia LaBeouf.
Jai Courtney. Yeah. It's crazy.
Michael Cera.
All these people.
All the opportunities.
Yeah, Aziz Ansari looks just like Cable.
Yeah, Ken Watanabe. It's.
Well, they keep saying there's not enough Asian actors, so they're just going to give them white roles. Just reverse racism, no big deal.
And they did. They also, this was a while ago, but they cast Domino too. Somebody I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Apparently, she's been in some stuff though.
I don't remember.
I couldn't tell you her name.
Yeah, no, I couldn't tell you her name.
Never
they
heard
did.
Of her.
They did cast Domino as well.
Nobody knows.
Nope. I gotta look it up.
And then that picture that was floating around: a few Jackman, Pierce Brosnan, and Ryan Reynolds sitting together doing the "See No Evil, Hear No Evil, Speak No Evil."
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that Pierce Brosnan will be in some capacity Mr. Sinister, because I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But
she's from Atlanta.
Okay,
Zazie Beetz.
Like, she was born and raised in Atlanta, or she's from the show Atlanta?
No, she's from the show Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there, Zazie Beetz.
There was some news about Dolph Lundgren being cast in the Marvel Universe.
I don't think it was Marvel. I think it was DC, actually.
Are you sure? Because I'm pretty sure it was Marvel. Because they were talking about him being the Punisher, and then, I can't seem to fucking find it anywhere, but
It was Aquaman. He's going to be an Aquaman. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's going to play a rival. I want to say King or something.
Yeah, Ivan Drago. Okay. If he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he dies.
I will break him.
I will break him.
He's a machine. Anyway. Actually, I'm excited about that too, because honestly, when I think of Aquaman and I think of the Atlanteans, I think of the Germans.
Yeah.
I do. I really do.
It's pretty accurate. It's pretty accurate.
I think Dolph Lundgren would fit in nicely there.
God.
So.
The master race underwater!
Remember,
we will fight the fish!
Remember, Hitler wanted to become the Atlanteans. He was hopped up about that shit. He thought they were the master race. That's what he was ascending to, was fucking wearing green and orange and riding around on seahorses. That is what Hitler wanted.
Assassin your Reich! Underwater!
And on that note, we're out of time.
We don't like the Dolphins!
Yeah, I can't believe we completely fucking forgot about the
Josh
Cable.
Yeah. That's huge.
We'll make some time for it next week. How about that?
Okay. Right.
We'll figure out who all has been cast, and we'll throw
just a big pile of Deadpool.
Yeah, we'll have a Deadpool sesh.
Captain Deadpool.
No, just Deadpool.
All right, so you got anything?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm not. So,
well, I am. You can catch if you, well, obviously, if you're listening to this live, which you're probably not, but if, maybe you're listening to it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is today for you. But if you're listening to, anyway, the point is,
this whole time travel thing is weird.
Monday night.
Yes.
The 17th of what month are we in? April.
Yes.
Okay. Derek and I will be on the Nerdbot live stream with our hands up the asses of puppets.
Yep.
It's Joker Batsy on No Strings Attached.
Living the dream, guys.
So, you can check that out on facebook.com/nerdbot. And again, that'll be in the evening. We'll throw up, some reminders and links when it gets closer to the time, but, be sure to catch us there. Ask your questions, any questions you want, answered by Joker and Batman, the puppet versions. They're far more serious than the real ones, so get all your questions asked.
Make them serious questions.
Yes. And answered. So that's happening tomorrow, or again, today, or even yesterday, depending on when you're listening to it, or a month ago.
Who knows?
Who fucking knows?
Maybe you'll watch the live stream on Wednesday. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know your life.
Whatever. Anyway, also be sure to catch this in podcast form on our website, jackofallnerdshow.com. There'll be a new Dark Crusader comic strip coming up, wrapping up, the Dusk of Injustice story arc. That's right. Night and Dark Crusader. Battled it out last week.
So good.
Found out that they both had Martha in common.
Oh, no.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great.
So check that out also on our website. This has been the Jack of All Nerds. We will talk at you later.